Well, some items we treasure because of their sentimental value and the people and experiences that they remind us of. But other collectibles really are a treasure and can be worth quite a bit of money. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. There are probably a lot more items in your attic whose value is sentimental. But once in a while, you might find something. Some sort of treasure maybe hidden there as well. And today it's a Christmas in July show because our guest has a special estate sale coming up. Shirley Bauman is a certified personal property appraiser and a registered Wisconsin auctioneer. She owns a Bauman Auction Services and Heirloom Appraisal and Estate Services. And Shirley, always great to see you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back.
Yeah, and this estate sale, it's going to benefit a good cause.
It is. We're going to be selling this fabulous Christmas collection at auction, and the proceeds will go to a scholarship fund that the late Don and Alice Ben set up. It was their wishes that when they couldn't enjoy their collection anymore, it go to the scholarship fund.
Well, that's wonderful. We'll probably talk a little bit more about it, but these are Christmas items. Right?
Oh, yes. What's going to be sold in the auction are not really antique items, but they're artist-made. Most of them are artist-made. A lot of Wisconsin artists are represented in the collection, but one of the names maybe your listeners will know is Leo Smith. He's a wood carver from Fountain City, and he has carved what I think is the prize of the auction. The Ben's commissioned it from him, so it is a one-of-a-kind. I've seen it in books about Christmas collectibles, and it is that one because that's the only one there is. And it's a lion, and Santa is riding the lion and holding a lamb.
Oh, my goodness.
And the Santa is so sensitively done. You know, it's to represent peace, and it's just a gorgeous, gorgeous work.
Man.
It stands probably about 32, 36 inches tall.
And anybody listening could actually bid on that or any other item.
Yes, they can, in a couple of ways. They can come to the live auctions. We have so many things. We're doing 2 days, this Saturday, this Sunday, both days starting at 10 a.m., preview at 9 a.m., in DeForest at the Comfort Inn. And suites there on Highway V, County V. And they can also bid at home in their pajamas on the internet. We're going to be having pre-bidding, and we'll start probably this afternoon on that. So you could start looking at things and bid ahead of time. And then you can also bid live against the audience in the room on the internet during the auction. So
how do they do that? They go to your service or what?
They go to the link will be on Bauman Auction Service and Heirloom Appraisal, but it's actually done through a service. It's called Auction Zip Live. And there's a lot of back end that I don't know about that the people there put together for us.
Well, we have links to your site so people can just go to my Facebook page and link from there. So I'm wondering, what types of Christmas items are collectible?
Well, like we said, these artist-made items, but also vintage and antique Christmas are collectible. There's national collector clubs. I mean, some of the things that you see are especially sought after in the terms of the antique Christmas are the very large papier-mâché candy containers. They're fragile. So, you know, fewer of them last. So when they did remain in great condition, they're really well sought after. And they can go into the thousands of dollars. Victorian ornaments, the very delicate blown glass, little swans and Santas and those kinds of things are, I have one that's a little umbrella. I don't know what that has to do with Christmas, but it is. And those are made in the Victorian era, probably decorated with tinsel and that kind of thing, and they're in the hundreds of dollars. And then, you know, some of those, if people are looking at the Facebook page, those with that kind of flocking and indent on them and a little are probably from the 50s, 40s and 50s that are shown in that picture. And they can be, you know, as little as, you know, $5 and on up. Tree toppers will be more than just a small ornament, but the figural ornaments and figural lights are quite collectible, and they're often in a pretty reasonable, in, you know, maybe $20 to $70 range.
Mm-hmm. Are some collectibles more valuable when they're part of a set?
Yeah, some of them are. For example, we have a couple of sets in this auction coming up, and one is the ornament set of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. So that's an 8-piece set, and by having it, it's Disney authorized, and it was produced by the Christopher Radko company. So having those all together as a set, we've got the original box for it, that makes it more valuable than if you just find Dopey or one of the other dwarves.
For items that are connected to a particular, let's say, ethnic tradition, does the value depend on the heritage of the area where they are being sold and bought?
Well, it can. It can. We have a lot of Northern European heritage around this part of the country here in Wisconsin and such. And so there are ornaments that were brought over from Germany, and Germany is where this tradition of decorating trees started.
Mm-hmm.
So when we see the old German Kugel, which is a heavy glass blown ornament that's usually in the shape of fruits or nuts, those are quite sought after here, and maybe they wouldn't be by some other areas of the country.
If somebody's interested in buying Christmas collectibles, and then I'll also say selling them, so but that's probably two different questions. What are good sources for buying, or what are good sources for selling? Well, maybe it's the same thing.
It can be the same thing. You know, these private sales, this is, comes from people's homes. These, like I say, this is where you find some of these treasures in the attic we were talking about before. That's a good way to keep watch. So you want to keep watching the auctions and estate sales and online. That's where people, you know, put a lot of these things, especially if it's, you know, maybe if they have one set or a special piece or something, or several, they might just put them on eBay. That's a good place to look.
Let's go to Dot in Manitowoc, who has a question. Dot, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I have two Manitowoc aluminum trees. One is 4 feet, and the other one is 4 feet. One does not have the color wheel that goes around it, and so I was wondering what would the price be for the one that does not have the color wheel, and one that does have the color wheel.
Sure, and just to describe that a little bit more, the color wheel is, it's a light. And the wheel turns around in front of the light and is colored, usually in three, four different colors. And so the tree itself takes on those colors at that time. So it might look blue, red, yellow, green. And they're great vintage collectibles. And, of course, you can always get a color wheel to go with the trees. People do sell those separately sometimes in the antique malls and such, you find them. But with the wheel and everything complete on a 4-foot tree, I think we're looking in the $100 to $150 range. Of course, it depends on condition of it. So,
There you go. Thank you very much for calling, Dot. You can join in too, by the way, if you have a question about something you may own and want to know its value, or you may have a question just in general about how do we set up an auction, or what are things to look for given a specific kind of piece that you might be interested in or pieces. Call us at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, and there you can post photos that are easy for us to see, and surely can make some comment on. One of the things about photos, though, it's always good to know some indication of the size. So either mention it, the size, or put something in the photo with it that we can then judge size. And if there are any marks, maker's marks, on the items. We need to know that as well, because that really helps surely make some identification. So that's at my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show for that. We'd certainly love to see those. And again, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Does the age of an item always affect its value?
Well, no, it doesn't. Sometimes we see something old and it just isn't valuable. It's just old.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's amazing to me that the low value of some things that are very old. In one of the appraisals I did, we found some cuneiform tablets. And these are like about an inch and a half square, maybe. And each little carving in the tablet stands for a syllable. And I was able actually to get someone to translate loosely what was on those forms. And one was a tax receipt. Mm-hmm. One was about receipt and payment for oxen.
Oh, my goodness.
And another one was, I think, a receipt for work, what was being paid for somebody's work. And these date to 200 BC, something like that.
Wow.
That range. And they end up only being about maybe $500 a piece.
Wow. Yeah, you'd think a lot more.
You'd think they'd be a lot more with all that history involved and all, the situation. So old isn't always relate.
Phil in Wauwega, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I have a old original back when, the Wisconsin Bell system. My father-in-law was on a crew that went up into northern Wisconsin and replaced old telephones with the newer, improved models. And this is a wooden, I couldn't tell you exactly how old it is. I'm guessing in the 40s or 50s, maybe. Crank type with the horn and bells type telephone. I'm just curious as to what the value might be.
It would be a wall-hung phone, is that right?
Yes.
Those are really nice, and actually, I'll tell you, some people still have them fixed so that they're working in their homes.
Wow.
And,
You
know, put modern works in them, and they look great in a home decorated with antiques. And the value of them is, again, depending condition, often around about $200, give or take.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
So they're great.
Thanks a lot for calling, Phil. John in Oshkosh, hi to you.
Hello. My question was about just the general prices of antiques for the future. Are they going to go up, go down, stay the same? And specifically old stoneware crocks and jugs like the Red Wing and the Western. And I'll listen for the comment on the radio.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Wow, if I could see into the future, that would be great. It's really hard to say what's going to happen right now. You know, it's kind of it's a market. Things go up and down. So, right now some of the things are hot, or one of the things that's really hot is advertising signs. And some years ago that wasn't so hot. So it goes up and down. People who have watched the antiques market often say that there's about a 30-year cycle. So what was popular 30 years ago might be the same thing that's going to be popular about now. You can't say that for everything, and it's just a little bit of a rule of thumb. And there are some things that I don't think are really going to come back. And one of those, for example, is delicate fine china.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are having really hard time selling, grandma's china set that she got for her wedding, her Limoges, beautiful Limoges hand-painted china. And the reason is multifold. We don't really entertain that way anymore. We don't have as big a family, so to have those place settings for 12 or 14 with all of those serving pieces, you need a lot of room to store it and maybe use it once or twice a year at the holidays. And then the younger people who are buying china want something that can go in the dishwasher and the microwave, and that would ruin those delicate hand-painted items. So I really don't think that that's going to come around generally in a big way. As far as stoneware, again, the unusual pieces, I think, will always hold their value, the rare and unusual ones. But it, I can't really say if they're going to be going up or down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of these changes have been affected by the Internet, and that's been really a relatively short time that we've been buying, selling antiques on the Internet. So it's still left to be seen what that really does to the markets in the long term.
Shirley Bauman, our guest today, certified personal appraiser and a registered Wisconsin auctioneer. She owns Bauman Auction Services and Heirloom Appraisal and Estate Services. I'm Larry Mueller. Carl Christensen, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at collectibles today and antiques. We were zeroing in a bit on Christmas collectibles and holiday collectibles because Shirley's involved in an estate sale coming up, an auction that is going to benefit students at the university. Really a kind of a nice thing that the people who owned all these Christmas collectibles, is some, I think she said something like 800 or 900 different lots within this, are all the profits from that go to a scholarship at the University of Wisconsin that she set up, which is really quite nice.
Yes, it is quite nice.
And to go to learn more about it, I mean, there's, you can't imagine the 800 or 900 lots. Good grief. You can do it online if you want, right?
Yes, you can. And as I said, it's through AuctionZip Live, but they can go to my websites and find a link there. The catalog is in progress right now, so it's probably not available to bid until this afternoon. But if you go to heirloomappraisal.com and you look at the announcements box, and you can click on a link there that says details and photos, and you'll see some, just some of the photos. But, I mean, when we talk about the lots, some are sets of ornaments or decorations, and some are individual pieces. There's one Santa figure, artist made in there, that stands 92 inches tall.
Wow.
So it's a life-size Santa.
So everything from a life-size Santa right down to the very smallest, probably, Christmas trinket.
Sure, to a hand-blown glass strawberry that you could hang on the tree.
There we go. So you can join in, by the way. If questions about antiques or collectibles, give us a call. Or maybe you collect Christmas items. What do you collect? Something special? You wonder about what it might be worth? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Tom and Madison up next. Tom, thanks for calling. Hi.
Thank you. Good morning. Enjoying your program. I would like to inform your audience of an organization that I belong to that is a group of Christmas collectors called the Golden Glow of Christmas Past. It's an international organization that has an annual convention every year, traditionally July. We celebrate Christmas in July. This year's is in Lombard, Illinois, which will be this coming week. Mm-hmm. It is a closed convention, so obviously you need to be a member of the organization. And as part of that membership, you get a wonderful magazine 6 times a year, full color, of people sharing Christmas collections, Christmas stories, of antique merchandise. Up until this year, everything that is on display in the museum room at that convention is prior to 1966. So you have things very, very old, through the 40s and 50s, where a lot of us started our Christmas collecting with shiny brights or those kind of things. But after this convention, they are going to extend it to be a little newer type of item, probably into the early 70s, to attract more people into the organization. But if people just go to goldenglow.org, they can find out information on this.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling. And you're familiar with this organization, Shirley?
I am. And I'd just like to mention, I think it's one of the premier Christmas collecting organizations in the world. And you can see just some fabulous Christmas items if you go to one of their conferences. And it's a great organization.
I would be willing to bet that some of the Golden Globe people will be taking a look at your website.
I hope they do. Of course, we're not really selling the antiques items. I think the oldest are probably the 80s, and maybe the 70s and 80s. So they're not the real sought-after antique items, but, again, wonderful artist items.
Cindy in Stevens Point, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. I have an old Victrola box, yellow primarily, with the Victrola in black and red. It also has, like, the cavalry, the hat with the cross rifles on it. The top is painted with the Masons AME, and it's going to a company at one time, the Wisconsin Boys. And I have never even seen a box, much less something with this kind of painting on it, accessorized.
Hmm. Let me ask you a few questions about it. Is this the box that a Victrola came in, or is it actually the case?
It's like it would be what the Victrola was shipped
in?
Does that make sense?
It was shipped in this box, yeah. It's hard to say. Like I say, that's actually a form of advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And advertising is a hot thing right now. And so I think you've probably got something of value, especially if it's in good condition. And the images that you're describing seem to be things that would be of interest because Mason's collectibles are sought after, as well as the war items. Mm-hmm. I think you mentioned the cavalry symbols and such. About what size is the box?
I don't have it in front of me. I'm not there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But 18 inches to 2 feet.
Okay.
Wide by probably 3 to 4 feet long, and then it's probably another 24 inches tall.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it's a good size piece. It's really hard to say, but I without seeing it, I really can't give you a number. But I would say it's definitely something to keep and look into. It could be in hundreds of dollars,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Where would she look? Where would you go online to?
Well, I'd look under advertising crates or original packing. And again, she mentioned Victrola, and I want to say that Victrola is a brand. I didn't ask her. The Victrola is the one, the phonograph made by RCA Victor.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other phonographs, mm-hmm. that were made by different companies that people mistakenly call Victrolas.
Yeah.
Kind of like Scotch tape.
Yeah. Thanks, Cindy, for calling. Greg in Indiana, your turn. Hi, Greg.
Good morning. Hey, I was just traveling through your state here and heard your show. My wife and I purchased an old saloon back in Indiana about 8 years ago, and this place has been around since probably the middle 1800s. But when I was doing the remodeling, I found an old beer sign up in the attic that was turned upside down, and I think people just thought it was a couple boards laying across the rafters, but it's an old metal sign about 3 foot tall and about 2 foot wide from PH Best Brewing Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It's black, and it's got a picture of a paddle boat all in gold trim and gold painting and stuff. Just kind of curious to see, you were saying advertising is big. Just wondering if you ever seen one of them or had any idea what something like that would be a value of.
Well, I haven't seen one of those, and I'm not sure who PH Best is. I wonder if that might have something to
do. It's an old brewery, I think.
Yeah, it's an old brewery, but I don't know if
it... I looked it up on the Internet, and they were in business maybe 12 or 13 years or before Pabst Blue Ribbon was, and Pabst Blue Ribbon bought them out and turned it into Pabst Blue Ribbon.
That's what I was going to say, that with having the P in there and Best, I thought maybe it would have morphed into Pabst Blue Ribbon. I think you've got something special. Again, it depends on the condition, but you sound like it's in good condition with a lot of gold on it, you said. Metal signs are very collectible.
Oval-shaped or whatever you call it, concave. It's not flat. It's kind of arched around or whatever, and the metal is nailed on the boards, you know, like boards on the inside where it was, the frame of it was.
Sure, so. Yeah. Sure. I think you've got something real special, and I think that selling that anywhere, but especially around the Milwaukee area, would bring a good price.
Okay.
That's
you might even check with the Pabst people.
Yeah, that's possible. If that they, you know, would like that for their archives.
Well, I just had it lightly cleaned up and kind of reattached it to the wall in that bar because I think it's been there from the beginning. So I always thought it was part of the saloon, but just kind of curious to see if there was a value of any on it. I'm sure there was, but I didn't know how much. But
you know, one thing you might want to do is call in a local appraiser and get it scheduled on the insurance.
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would definitely make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You could have the person come right to the bar. And
that's right.
Have a beer.
Have a beer and look at your sign and work it out.
Work it out. There you go, Greg. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah, you as well. Artis in Richland Center, your turn. Hi, Artis.
Oh, hi there. Listen, I don't know if this is too much of a, has much of a price on it, but the proverbial Christmas ornament that's baby's first year of Christmas with a date, usually, right?
Yes.
Well, what I found at Goodwill one day was one in a little box normally, but it has a little wicker baby buggy in it. And what is cute about it, it has a little blanket on it and a baby, but on the blanket it has 1980. Now, I didn't know they made that valuable little ornament for baby's first Christmas.
Well, I think they probably would have because, you know, parents, grandparents, especially first-time ones, are, you know, likely to pick up something like that to with the intention of making it a keepsake. So that's not real surprising. And the little blanket and baby from the 80s, it's, you know, not real old yet, but I would certainly think it has an opportunity to increase in value. I can't tell you what it is. Again, it depends on who made it, what it's made out of. It's a little plastic piece, probably different than if it were blown glass. But I think it's something special. And, you know, they were doing things like that way back, I'm going to go back into the 1920s.
Oh.
And they had, it was a little different, though. It was a baptismal commemorative. And they were very fancy, and some of them had little wax babies on the card with a lot of lace and tinsel and fancy paper.
Yeah. There you go, Artis. Thanks a lot for calling. Steve in Richland Center up next. So we got Richland Center two calls in a row. Hi, Steve.
Hi. How are you today, Larry?
Great. Appreciate the call. What have you got for us today?
Well, I'm curious. I have what was known as a baby pump organ from the Mason and Hamlin Company. This was from 1876 and introduced at the World Expo, which I guess turned into the World's Fair in 1876, introduced in Philadelphia is where they introduced it, brought it out in commemoration of the in 1776. So it was like the 100-year anniversary.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And all the bellows work, and you know, it plays fine. You know, still has great tone to it.
Hmm.
Good shape.
Sounds like a great piece.
It is.
And what is the case made of? Is it oak?
I believe it's oak.
Mm-hmm.
If not oak, maybe a maple. I'm not quite sure on the wood, but you know, there's no deep scratches or anything.
Mm-hmm.
They'll make out the medallion stamps on the, you know, by the keys. All the keys are there in good shape. And
good. One of the things you mentioned that's so important about pump organs is the bellows. And if it was an original from 1876, they would probably have to have been replaced and probably more than once that age. This one being a commemorative centennial isn't as old, so it you know, the materials were different and between 100 years and the way that things were made, so, and again, the age. So that's wonderful. Pump organs is something that I've not had a lot of luck selling. There's reasons, because a lot of people don't know how to play them or want to be pumping when they're playing. A lot of times, again, it's that bellows issue. How do I get it fixed and where and keep it maintained? And so for a lot of people, they've become decorator items because they don't play anymore. As far as value, it's hard to say. You know, ones I've sold have been in, you know, depending on size, kind, whatever, from several hundred to several thousand dollars. And a lot of them actually end up being donated because not that many people, again, are collecting that kind of Victorian things anymore. And the last one I had went to a historical society that was redoing a country church, and it was donated to that group. And then the donor took a tax deduction that way.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Steve. And Wayne in Lodi, what's on your mind? Hi.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. I've got Coca-Cola collectibles, specifically, I mean, I've got all kinds of things, but specifically news or magazine advertising. Just wondering what kind of value is on that, and where do you find people that want to buy them?
What period are the advertisements from?
Everywhere from 1905 is one of my oldest pieces up to into the 70s.
Okay.
Predominantly in the 40s and 50s.
Yeah, you see a lot of them around that period, again, because I've seen an awful lot of those ads depicting World War II soldiers.
Correct.
And so that's of interest. And then the 50s, again, is the boom times after the war, when people were actually the sodas were becoming more common in the home at that point.
Right.
You know,
right.
I can remember as a little kid on a weekend, we'd have a treat and my sister and I would have to share one bottle, you know, on Saturday, a little one of those, what, eight ounce bottles.
Yep.
That was our treat, you know.
Then.
Now that's altogether different. as far as the ads, a good place to look for comparable sales on those would be on eBay. And if you look on eBay, go to an advanced search. You'll need to set up an account to do this, but it's just a name and password. But look on the advanced search and then click on completed or sold listings.
Okay.
Because that will tell you what they sold for. A lot of them, I think, will go between $4 or $5 up to about $25.
Okay. So
and
I know I've got one ad that it's got a picture of a gal on the back of a sewing magazine. It's called The Old Oaken Bucket. And I saw in a Coca-Cola guide that one alone was worth like $125.
Okay, you have to be careful about the guidebooks. There's a couple of things you have to look for. Is it current? Because that might have sold a long time ago. And that's not what they're selling for now. So you have to be careful of that. And it's also a compilation of sales from the best places, you know, biggest auction houses or whatever's biggest galleries. And so that might not actually be what can happen here in Wisconsin. So you want to be careful about that. A better or a more accurate look would be to go to the eBay completed sales right now, because that's what's happening today.
There you go. Thank you, Wayne. Harriet in Muscadet. Hello. Harriet, are you there? Yeah, hi.
Yeah, I'm here. I have two questions, actually. One is about a piano. I have an upright. It's a Weber from New York, and it's the serial number dates it to 1891. I just had it tuned, and the gentleman told me that it really belongs in a museum. And I was wondering if there is a market for such a piano.
Boy, I'm sure there is. I don't know exactly what to tell you right now. What I probably would do is search in, you know, Madison, Milwaukee area for, you know, piano stores and find those that kind of specialize in vintage instruments. And just give them a call and see what they have to tell you. That's how I kind of start to get some information. I'm not real familiar with that market, but that's what I do to start.
Can I ask another question?
Sure.
We have two fluorescent light bulb or lights advertising signs. And one is GE, and they used to hang outside of our commercial building, which was built in 1911. And we don't know where to start to find the market for those.
Okay. Neon signs are...
Neon, that's what I meant.
Yep, they are collectible, and they're, like I said, advertising is hot right now. Again, you can look on the eBay sales and see what's happening there in terms of look at those completed listings, sold items, not what people are asking for, but sold items. And that might give you an idea. Again, if you're doing it through an eBay, you'll have to, or any online, you'll have to deal with shipping, just as we do in the auction we've got coming up. It's it's an item that's important, and especially with neon, which is fragile. So you might, in your ad, put, if you want, put pickup only, so that it has to be somebody who'd be willing to drive to whatever location you determine and pick it up. Value is really hard to say. About how large is it?
There's two of them. The GE sign is probably all... 3 to 4 feet long and maybe a foot and a half high.
Okay.
And the other one, I can't even remember now what it advertised because whatever product it is no longer around.
Okay.
And it's a little bit smaller.
All right. Well, your GE one will be the one that's more valuable because that's a product people know. Now, if the other product is something really interesting, I sold an oyster sign not so long ago that was quite small. Maybe 10 by 12, 12 by 14, and was porcelain and curved to go around like a pole. And that one went for over $500 at auction. So it's that was, you know, the oysters from the East Coast. And I think that went to a dealer to be resold, to be honest.
Okay, well, so, I will check out eBay then.
Yeah, you're probably in... In multi-hundreds, if not even towards $1,000 on that.
Yeah, worth looking into, that's for sure, Harriet. Chris from Milwaukee called in about the person who with the piano, the older piano, and said there's a piano store in Milwaukee. It's called the Piano Gallery. So the name of the store is the Piano Gallery, and they really know their stuff. So if our caller is still listening in, she may want to get in touch with the Piano Gallery. And she can, it's one of those things sometimes where you can at least to get started, you can take a few photos.
Yes.
And email the photos, and that really helps, I would think.
And she mentioned the serial number, and with pianos, that's important too.
Yeah. So thanks, Chris, for that information. Certainly appreciate it. Shirley Bauman, our guest today, certified personal property appraiser, registered Wisconsin auctioneer. She owns Bauman Auction Services and Heirloom Appraisal and Estate Services. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. having some fun today talking about antiques and collectibles with Shirley Bauman of Bauman Auction Services and Heirloom Appraisal and Estate Services. Great to have her along. You may have something, question about something that you own, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or if you've got a photo of the object, you can certainly put it on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Be sure to let us know if there are any maker's marks, and also size. And Facebook, we had a question from Daniel. It was very interesting. Family friend recently inherited a property from a family member. There are two barns full of stuff. It is in piles and complete disarray. The task of organizing to even attempt an auction is daunting, if not overwhelming. Any suggestions? Maybe sell it to some dealers just to get some floor space to begin working with?
Actually, I don't think I would do that, because you want those dealers to be coming to your auctions to get the value for the things, and they're good bidders at auction. What I would do, if that were my case, is I'd call in the auctioneer that I want to work with and ask them for their advice. Sometimes they can see through this where you can't, and they would probably set up a situation where there'd be several auctions if it's that many things. And maybe they have an auction house and they would be willing to take some of those things to get you started, or storage or whatever. But I'd contact the auctioneer and let them see it in person, and then go from there, because yeah, they'll be able to advise you.
And in terms of organizing it and how to sell it. Yep.
Yeah.
And how do you find a, you know, like you, for example, are an auctioneer, you got
right,
your own service.
Well, the Wisconsin Auctioneers Association is a great place to go. And members are listed on there, and you can find their locations. And again, those members that are active in there are abiding by a code of ethics and are certainly licensed in Wisconsin to conduct auctions. And that's exactly where I'd send
start.
People.
Yeah. Nancy in Milwaukee, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hello. I have two items from the late 1920s. One of them is a baby scale, which consists of a wicker basket about 2 feet long that is mounted on a square box-like scale that has a large glass dial about 8 inches in diameter. And this baby scale actually still weighs quite accurately. And it is beautiful to look at. I bought this myself at a garage sale, and I was immediately captured with it long after the years when I actually had babies. And the other item is a set of 12 silver-plated dessert cups, each with four little legs. This was a set, and it comes in a blue box lined with satin compartments, one compartment for each little dessert dish. And this was given to my mother as a premium when she and my father bought a refrigerator late in the 1920s.
Hmm.
So these two items are simply charming to me, but I have to now start divesting my own household of things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we're talking first about that baby scale, it sounds adorable.
Yeah.
And I could see a lot of people who are decorating a nursery wanting to put that in there. And it's hard to say, again, not knowing condition and such, but if it's in really good condition and the way you described it, since you've decorated with it, it probably is. You could be in the range, again, not seeing it. I'm thinking maybe anything between maybe $75 to $150 in that range.
Okay.
And the silver plated cups, it's interesting. Silver plate has not kept the value the way sterling has for a number of reasons. Of course, sterling has an intrinsic value. And when you try to separate the plate from an item, which is a thin coat of silver over a base metal, it's very hard to do, and you don't end up with much silver. And people are not really wanting to spend their time doing that anymore. Where, you know, in the early days, perhaps, when your family got them, the mother stayed at home and wasn't working outside the home, and there weren't as many activities for the family to keep up with. And again, people don't entertain that formally usually anymore. So they, the four nice dessert cups with feet are probably in the silver plate, depending again who made them and such, but they might only be in the, $40 range for the whole, all of them
the
in the box.
Yep.
They could be more too.
There you go, Nancy. Thank you. Josh in Duluth, Minnesota. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Hi there. We recently got a birthday gift for my 2-year-old daughter from her grandpa. It was his childhood plate. It is a buffalo pottery, and on the back of it, it says vitreous above the little buffalo in the logo, and on the front of it is alphabet around the rim, and then the scene on it looks like maybe a little Dutch. Children, a couple of little Dutch children playing with a boat.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked online a little bit, and it's really similar to the Campbell's Soup line that Buffalo Pottery had, but I couldn't find that particular scene anywhere. So I didn't know if it was rare or... I was just didn't really know where to start, so.
Sure. The scenes that are put on those child's dishes, then they're called an ABC plate, are decals.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were put on that way for the most part. Now, it's possible. I think Buffalo would have done decals. It's possible that it's hand-painted, but it's likely a decal. And so they could have come from anywhere, that... It's not unusual that you wouldn't find that particular scene because they had many, many, many decals. But most of the ABC plates in good condition, if the design isn't really worn away from, the previous children eating out of it or no cracks and chips, we're talking about $45 to $65.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice pieces for a keepsake.
There you go. Thanks very much for that call. Marilyn emailed us and said some years ago when my son was young, he wanted the Hallmark Star Trek ornament. It was the first one offered, and it celebrated Star Trek's 25th anniversary. At the time, I put my name on the list for one when they came in. Wow, little did I know, even then, that having my name on the list was the only way to get it at the original cost, or even to get one at all. I'm just wondering if that little ornament has gained any more value since then.
Well, that brings up an interesting point in modern collectibles. And we've seen some things happen, like the Beanie Baby craze that really took off and then went bust. And so that's happened with some things. But Star Wars continues to hold value, and I think that particular ornament would have gone up. The reason being that Star Wars continues to be a popular show and movies and Enterprise.
This is Star Trek. So
Star Trek, yes. And Star Trek, there's still movies and that. It's still popular. So I do believe it's still holding value and probably going up. And when they're, it all depends on how many they make in the beginning. They made, hundreds of thousands of Beanie Babies and hundreds of thousands of collector plates that people paid a lot of money for. And now... are very hard to sell. But I don't know if it depends on how limited the edition was of those original Star Wars ornaments, but I suspect it has held or increased in value.
Kelly in Madison. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, I was calling because I had one of those grandmas who preserved everything in plastic, and after she passed on, we took everything to an antiques dealer, and he picked and chose what he wanted, and what he left behind, one of the items, was this Howdy Doody circus animal paper toy that was never touched or used or anything. And when I went to eBay to do the completed listings, I found that there weren't any. And that, sure enough, the item had been selling on some auction site that wasn't eBay. It was specific to antiques for $150 and up. And I have no idea what to do with it now.
Well, it's an interesting thing with those collectibles that are related to characters like Howdy Doody. The people who remember him as from their childhood are a lot of us are getting old enough to start downsizing and maybe not adding a lot to collections anymore. Not always the case, but that could be why you didn't see any at the time on eBay, because younger people who might be buying on eBay don't really know who Howdy Doody is.
So how do I get it out of my house?
I would, again, look for a local auction that is specializing in toys and character items. That's one way. The other thing is look at those sites that you said you saw them where people were selling them on different antique sites. Some of those might be on Etsy or, Internet Antiques Mall or Ruby Lane. You could also sell them on there if you get a log in and get to be a seller on those.
Mm-hmm.
So you could do it that way too. But yeah. I think that perhaps the fees are higher there, that you want to be a regular seller, not just a one time.
Okay. With that, we're going to take a quick look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net. Shirley's going to ponder that, and then we'll be back. Stay with us. If someone told you that you could appear on Antiques Roadshow, what would you take? Have you always wondered whether something you have is worth some money, or maybe it's only a sentimental value? Larry Mueller here. Shirley Bauman with us today. She's a certified personal property appraiser. She owns Bauman Auction Services and Heirloom Appraisal and Estate Services. She's a registered Wisconsin auctioneer. Comes by a few times a year to help us understand the value of things we've collected. Shirley, great to have you back.
Well, thank you. It's always good to be here.
Lots of fun. And lots of callers online. You may have a question. The number, the lines are all filled right now. Here's the number, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I don't know if there have been any photos posted yet or not. We can take a look on the Facebook page and see if there's some photos up there. And I bet you Carl's going to do that right now. We'll see if we've got some of those. Karen in Spring Green has a question for you or a comment. Hi, Karen.
Hello. I'm very curious as to how to find out a value of original artwork, say from the 1900s to like the 1940s, painters, I've got watercolors, some chalk, some oils. Where does one take these things to be appraised?
Well, what you'd want to do is find an appraiser who specializes in fine art. Mm-hmm. And they can, or if they specialize in antiques, find out if they have someone they consult with on fine art. Mm-hmm. And they will look through databases of artists and genres, media, like you said, somewhere pastels. They'd look through and find out, they subscribe to databases that have artist names and examples of their works. If they can't find anything from that particular artist, what they would do then is look at similar works, similar size, similar subject, about the same period,
I see,
and come to a conclusion that way to value it. And it's about the best one can do in that situation, because you've got to have a number, for example, for insurance purposes.
Right.
Or that kind of thing. So that's how we would go about valuing those works.
Yes. I've tried, some of the signatures are very hard to read.
Yes.
And I've tried looking for them online. And, of course, if somebody didn't produce much and it was produced in the early part of the 1900s, there's not a website for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now there are some proprietary databases of information that a professional would subscribe to that would be out of reach for the average person.
Okay.
So they may have more access to more information.
Yeah.
Great.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Lee in Wild Rose, we turn to you next. Hi, Lee.
Hi there. My parents lived in Singapore for about 30 years, and they both died, and we have a room full of things that they brought back that ranging from, furniture pieces to small carvings out of wood, jade, ivory. And we're wondering where we could get these assessed or appraised and where we could sell them.
So what's the reason you would like to appraise them?
For sale.
For sale purposes, not for insurance?
Right.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. That's a little different situation because now when I get an appraisal that includes Asian items, I usually consult with a colleague of mine who is a specialist in Asian arts, but she specializes mainly in Chinese items. But that's been her whole career. She was the curator for the Royal Toronto Museum in Asian Arts and has her own business now. So she's been very good. But, of course, we're doing that through photographs.
Yeah.
And, again, it's not a sales situation. The appraiser from Milwaukee who works on the Antiques Roadshow often or has, if you go to the Antiques Roadshow website and look up the appraisers, and he's a gentleman from the Milwaukee area.
Okay.
He has done a lot of the Asian items on the roadshow.
Okay.
And he might be a good contact. Find out if he can appraise them for you, if he has sales opportunities for you, or what he might suggest.
Mm-hmm. Good suggestion.
All right. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Kate in Milwaukee, hello. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So if I were able to get a ticket to go to the Antiques Roadshow, I would take a painting that we have that we believe is to be about 280 years old because we've taken it to two appraisers in Milwaukee, and they are pretty sure that it is an old master's painting. It is an oil painting of Madame Pompadour, and it is actually a copy that is housed in the Louvre. And when we opened up the back of this painting after we got it, written down the very old frame that's all wood shim together. It's an oval frame. It has hobnails in the back of it to keep it all together. It's scrolled in French in quill and ink, Marquis de Pompadour, and more of her title, and then something about the Louvre. Something about the Louvre. And so we have run into the obstacle that we cannot find anyone who would be an old master's appraiser. And our insurance company is very fickle. They have insured it, but they want to know, have us to be able to find out more about this possible 280-year-old painting.
Mm-hmm. And you posted it up on my Facebook page. It's quite a beautiful painting. What do you think, Shirley?
Well, what you're actually looking for, I believe, is an authenticator and not an appraiser. First, you need an authenticator. And you might check in with the Chicago Museum of Art, the Art Institute down there, because they probably can help you with the authentication. And I think that's where your insurance company would be pleased to have that authentication, and that would help if you ever did have a loss. After you have the authentication, then you can get an appraiser to give a value on it. But appraisers aren't necessarily authenticators. You need a specialist in that area who can really authenticate it. And then you can find a fine art appraiser, like you said, from Milwaukee or you know, somewhere, to once it's been officially authenticated. So I'd start with the Art Institute in Chicago.
Okay, excellent. Because the artist that we believe it to be, only two other of his paintings are here in the United States.
Okay.
One at the Getty in California, and then the Kansas Institute of Art, Kansas City Institute of Art. And we keep running into these roadblocks, but the one authenticator in, not authentic, but appraiser here in Milwaukee, they didn't even want us leaving the painting at their art gallery.
I understand that, because that puts the responsibility on the appraiser at that time, and if it's a value unknown piece, who knows what we're in for. But you mentioned two museums there, the one in Kansas and the Getty, and you might even contact them and ask them for referrals on if there's an authenticator closer here, if they know someone from Chicago or the area.
Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Could be one of those things could be worth a lot of money, or if you can't authenticate it, maybe not so much.
Yeah,
it's up in the air. Libby in Star Lake, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. Hi, Larry and Shirley. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
What I have is a graphanola from about 1910 done by Columbia. It looks like a full-size Victrola. It's about 4 feet tall, and it's parts of it are hand-carved, made out of mahogany. It's really a convertible music box and phonograph. And it's my understanding that the phonograph business was putting the music box out of business, and that this is their way of capturing both markets. And the music box is actually used 15-inch metal records, for lack of another, discs, I guess. And on the bottom part, it's the little metal pieces hang down and catch the music box mechanism. If you'd rather do the phonograph, you take the record off and you put a turntable on, you put a needle in the little, whatever it's called. And so it's convertible. It's original finish. It came from my dad's collection about 25 years ago.
It sounds like a very interesting piece.
Yes.
And anybody who's interested in musical items would probably be interested in that. And I'd look for music box collectors. I think the music box has more value today than the crank phonograph, so I'd look at it that way. I'm not familiar with this particular item. I've never seen one, and I know you're talking about the large metal discs that play the music, and I can just about see that, but I've never actually seen one that was convertible like this. So I can't give you a value, but what I would do is contact collector clubs on and there is a very active music collectors group.
Now, I've seen tabletop models of the music boxes, but I've never seen one that looks like a phonograph, a whole Victrola. And so I'm just curious. I know I have it underappraised, and I'm just curious what it would sell for, but do you have a good idea on is it the Music Box Society or something?
Yeah, I'd just Google music box collectors and maybe put Wisconsin in there first. If you don't get a lot of response there, then go to Midwest.
Okay.
And work that way.
Yep.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Libby. Karen in Stoughton, hi.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. What have we got for you, or what have you got for us?
Okay, I'm hoping. I don't know if you've addressed this on the program. I haven't listened to all. I have about 50 Hummels, 5-inch ones, many from Germany, and family, of course, is not terribly interested in them. Any idea what I can do with them?
Well, I'm sorry to say that Hummels are one of the collectible items that have gone down in value lately. And part of that is because they became so readily available through the internet sales.
Okay.
Used to be that families held on to them, and when they came up at an auction or something, they went high. But that's not the case anymore. I've seen a lot of those smaller ones go for $35 at sales and auctions, and that's kind of a – it depends on how rare the particular piece is, how old it is, and condition, of course. But they really are not doing well on the marketplace right now. So if you can hang on to them and see if they come back around, that would be my suggestion. If you really need to move them on and get them new homes, look for either auction opportunities live or online.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Karen. Candy in La Crosse, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My mom passed away about 14 years ago, but during her life, the last 10, 15 years, she had a chair. It's not a rocking chair. It goes north to south, back and forth. And it on the back of it, it has like three humps on it, like a sunflower, like the petals of a sunflower.
Mm-hmm.
And it had old antique material on it, but she could never find out anything about the chair. Is there any place that I can check?
Sure. I think I have a couple of ideas for you. It sounds to me like you have what's called a platform rocker.
Mm-hmm.
So that this okay. It moves like that, but the platform stays stationary. So uh-huh. Do you have access to the internet?
Yes, I do.
Look up platform rocker or Victorian platform rocker.
Okay.
And that should give you some information on that. Now, they're not extremely valuable right now, but you'll see that, you know, you talked about the design on the crest rail, what it's made out of, that kind of thing. But if you, mm-hmm. you see some in the antique malls right now, and they're usually, you know, not much different either way from about the $100 range.
Okay.
In good condition.
We were just wondering what type of background, you know, find out about more about the chair.
Right. Well, it was, look at the Victorian platform rocker.
Yeah, you're going to find some stuff there. Thank you, Candy, for calling. Good luck. Brett and Merrill, hi to you. Thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you. Say, I have a couple of, I believe are crucibles or for melting glass. I'm pretty sure they're about 15 inches high and 10 inches in diameter. I have two of them that are identical. I don't know if anything is something like that worth anything.
Hmm. Well, you've stumped me on that. That's something I haven't had the opportunity to become involved with. I've never researched, and I'm just not familiar with. I really apologize for that, but
there's
we don't know everything.
There you go, Brett. Thanks for calling. Susan emailed and inherited a pretty extensive collection of antique calico buttons made until about the turn of the 20th century. My mom and grandma collected before anyone was making reproductions. They're sorted by pattern and color, and the perfect condition specimens are mounted in a binder. I'd like to get them appraised, possibly liquidated as a lot, but I'm having difficulty finding collectors online. Any ideas for experts / collectors in the Wisconsin area?
I have to say there are button collector clubs, and I know there are some in Wisconsin. A few years ago, I did an auction, and the woman there had several cedar chests full of buttons.
Oh.
She was 95 years old, and her mother before her had collected buttons as well. So there were unbelievable amount of different kinds of buttons. And we had, you know, one went for as much as $350,
wow.
Civil War era brass scarab button, and a lot of them went very high. The calico is not quite as high as some of these that I'm mentioning, but they are sought after, and the way you have them sorted. But I would look for Wisconsin Button Collectors Clubs and talk to those people. There's where your collectors are. They're the people who are looking for them, and they know the buyers.
Mm-hmm. And Jim and Merrimack. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, or afternoon, I guess.
Yeah, what's what have you got for us?
Well, I've got 4 complete years of Saturday Evening Posts, 1958, 1959, 1916, 61. So I don't know. I think there's some value, but I don't have a clue.
It's a hard thing to value right now. It does probably have some value, and what we often say about a 50s, 60s magazine is about $5 an issue in real good condition, and especially if it has some good advertisement, a good illustration on the cover, that kind of thing.
That was about the time Old Yeller, the book, appeared in Saturday Evening Post.
Might be in there.
It was in serial form over a few
issues.
So if that's in there, that might add to that as well.
Yeah, again, that would be something that could easily have come up for sale on eBay. And you might be able to find some completed sales there. And I haven't mentioned this before, but there is a database that you can subscribe to, and I think you could get a one-time subscription for about $10, $9.95, something like that. And it's called Price Miner. A lot of the databases are very expensive, but this is one that isn't. And it combines sales from eBay, Go Antiques, the Internet Antiques Mall, and a few other places. And that might be another place to look for. These are kind of those collectible, vintage collectibles. So you might take a look at priceminer.com.
Priceminer.com. Mm-hmm. And as we get near the end here, you have coming up this big benefit auction to support scholarships, university scholarships, Christmas items galore.
Yes.
800, 900 lots of Christmas items.
Yes.
Many of them quite valuable.
Very valuable, from one of a kind, commissioned from artists around the country, not just Wisconsin. And the late Don and Alice Ben were the owners, and Alice was a educator all her life and a Madison school principal at Hoyt Middle School. And if anybody out there knew the family, they might want to come. And you can bid in person in DeForest at the Comfort Inn. We're a nice, comfortable place in the ballroom there. And or you could bid online. Go to my website and you'll get connected, or AuctionZip Live. And you can see that catalog probably starting this afternoon. And we'd love to have you.
And the auction itself takes place this weekend?
This weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and it starts both days with a preview at 9 a.m. and actual bidding starts at 10 a.m.
And, of course, again, the proceeds are going to support students at the University of Wisconsin. So that's really, really quite nice. And your website, again, we have it up, both of your sites up on my Facebook page. But it's Bauman Auction Services.
BaumanAuctions.com.
BaumanAuctions.com, and the other is?
HeirloomAppraisal.com.
Okay, both those. Shirley, it's always great fun. Thank you so much. Boy, we covered a lot of ground here, and I'm unfortunately, we didn't get to everybody. Vintage Christmas cards, there could be some value there. You never know. That's one of the questions. Bone china cups, we got collectibles from the 50s. Easter collectibles. Wish we had time for all of it, but we don't. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I want to let you know that tomorrow, boy, where did the week go? It's Friday tomorrow, and that means Garden Talk at 11 o'clock, and our guest will be Karen Johansson, garden expert from formerly Johansson's Garden Center, going to talk with us about the spell of cold weather and how it might have impacted our gardens. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.